Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Anne Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, we look at the first reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve for Saul, whom I have rejected as the king of Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." But Samuel replied, "How can I go? Saul will hear of it and kill me." To this the Lord answered, "Take a heifer along and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I myself will tell you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I point out to you." So notice, God is providing for Samuel. He's telling him what he will do. He'll be there with him. How often in difficult situations do we turn to the Lord first? There might be a token prayer, maybe. But do we really turn to the Lord first? At the beginning of whatever project it is or whatever concern we have, "Lord, lead me, help me, guide me." God hears that prayer. Samuel did as the Lord had commanded him. And when he entered Bethlehem, the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and inquired, "Is your visit peaceful, O seer?" And he replied, "Yes, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. So cleanse yourselves and join me today for the banquet." He also had Jesse and his sons cleanse themselves and invited them to the sacrifice, just as the Lord had told him to do. As they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, now take this to heart, brothers and sisters, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him." See, God looks at the heart. And the reading here continues, "Not as man sees, does God see. Because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." Never make decisions just based on externals. Always ask the Lord. And then Jesse called Abinadab and presented him before Samuel, who said, "The Lord has not chosen him." Next, Jesse presented Shammah, but Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." In the same way, Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any one of these." And then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" And Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest. He's tending the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." So Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold and making a splendid appearance. And the Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is he." Do you notice the Lord called the youngest one, the one tending the sheep, the one not taken into consideration because he was too young? And yet that's exactly where God's blessing was. And then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. When Samuel took his leave, he went to Ramah. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot in that passage that we could apply to our current daily life. How often do we make hasty decisions? We're either anxious or we're burdened in some way, and we make hasty decisions because we just want to get rid of whatever and get an answer or a solution to our problem. But notice here, the Lord just step by step led them what they were to do, and they listened. confused a bit, but they listened. Psalm 89, I have found David, my servant. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil I have anointed him, that my hand may be always with him, and that my arm may make him strong. He shall say of me, you are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior, and I will make him the firstborn, highest of the kings of the earth. The Lord will use those who are committed to him, those who are willing to follow him. He can use anybody. But he looks for a heart that's disposed to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Who walk in the way of righteousness, who confess their sins clearly, who don't hide, don't minimize, don't lie. They live a life that is righteous, that's upright, might be simple, might not be something that the world would hold up, but they're actually following what the Lord most asks of us, an upright heart, a willingness to forgive, a willingness to put aside our own will and follow him, a willingness to really be the Lord's son or daughter, a true disciple. Where do you fall in that spectrum? Ask yourself that question. See where you are and then say, Lord, teach me, lead me, guide me in the way you want me to go. You'd be amazed how near God is and how he hears every word of every prayer you pray. The Alleluia verse before the gospel says this, may the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ enlighten the eyes of our hearts so you can see physically, and so often we stop there. We see something physically and we draw our conclusions from it. But there's something called the eyes of the heart where you say, Lord, let me see what you see. Let me follow what you want me to follow. Not be enticed by the world and its temptations, but enticed by the Lord to follow him more closely. Because that's when you fulfill more and more the purpose for which you were created. And believe me, there is a peace. Even in the midst of turmoil and difficulty, there is a peace that surpasses all understanding when we're willing to follow him. That we may know what is the hope that belongs to our call. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we may know what is the hope that belongs to our call as sons and daughters, our call to follow our Father, our call to rejoice in his Son Jesus who saved us from eternal death, and to follow him more and more and more closely, to welcome the Spirit of the living God into our lives, into our thinking, into our planning, into our conversation, into all the activities of a human being. Come, Holy Spirit, dwell here. Teach me, lead me. That's what God is after. And believe me, that does produce a hope that will not be disappointed. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to 28, as Jesus was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Jesus is beginning now to encounter here in the Gospel of Mark. He's beginning to encounter. At first, everybody was in awe of him. But now the Pharisees are beginning to feel threatened. And so they start taking issue with him. At this, the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And he, that is Jesus, said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need? And he and his companions were hungry. How he went into the house of God where Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of offering that only the priests could lawfully eat and shared it with his companions. And then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is why the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Pharisees are beginning to be threatened by him, and they don't like it. Dr. Mary Healy, she has been responsible for a Catholic commentary on sacred scripture that I find excellent. Dr. Mary Healy, she has others writing with her and working with her, but she has overseen this whole project, and some of it is her own work. And I want to encourage you to make sure that you have a Catholic commentary on sacred scripture yourself, that you can refer to it, that it can be helpful and give you insight. And in this particular commentary, Dr. Healy herself says, Pharisees are lurking nearby to watch for a misstep, in this case, an apparent violation of the Sabbath. They noticed the snacking disciples. You know, they were hungry and they were just picking the grains right in the field, and immediately pounce on Jesus. Why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? The law of Moses clearly prohibits work, including reaping on the Sabbath. In the Pharisees' stringent interpretation, even hand plucking to ease one's hunger on the road counted as reaping and therefore as forbidden work. Jesus neither affirms nor disputes their interpretation of what counts as work. Instead, he brings the discussion to a different level, answering their question with a counter question. He refers to an incident recorded in 1 Samuel 21, when David and his companions were fleeing for their lives from the murderous King Saul. En route, David stopped at the house of God, which at that time was the meeting tent, since the temple had not yet been built, to beg some bread for himself and his hungry men. Since there was no ordinary bread on hand, the priest Abimelech responded by giving David some of the bread of offering, the holy bread, that was kept on a special altar and that priests alone could eat. The fact that the holy bread was available suggests that that incident too took place on the Sabbath. In drawing this comparison, Jesus is declaring that the requirements of his messianic mission, here his disciples' need for nourishment on the road, take precedence over the prescriptions of the law. But he is also saying more than this. Jesus is likening himself to David and his disciples to David's loyal band of soldiers. David was the anointed one who had been chosen by God to lead Israel, but who spent years being hunted down by Saul before finally taking up his royal throne. Like David, Jesus is the Lord's anointed one, his Messiah pursued and persecuted by the leaders of Israel until the day when he will take up his throne. Those who share in his divinely appointed mission are doing God's work and therefore are granted a priestly dispensation from the Sabbath regulations, just as David's men have been granted a priestly privilege regarding the holy bread. This is background, brothers and sisters, that's helpful. And I really do encourage you to take a look at the commentaries that are available and begin to delve in deeply. And I would have to say that Dr. Healy's commentary on the Gospel of Mark would be very, very helpful to you. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.